Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. Grab your cup of coffee or tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above. Happy Friday to everybody. We are going into a highly activated weekend, and a weekend filled with conversation, perhaps, and very activated minds. So we're going to want to know, because it's the planet Mercury, what it is that we should be focusing our minds on, or how it is that we should be entertaining conversation. And yeah, for most people, I think this is going to be pretty good, right? I don't think it's a bad weekend at all. In fact, the contacts that Mercury is going to be making are not necessarily bad ones, but there's a few things that we're going to watch for, right? We're going to just watch for them. I hope everybody is doing well this morning. I see a couple of people checking in with us. Good morning, Marissa. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Lexi and Debbie Hedden. It is great to see you all out there this morning. So we have quite a bit to talk about today. First of all, the moon has moved into the sign of Sagittarius. So we want to talk about what that means for all of us. Sagittarius is a planet, ruled by the planet Jupiter. And Jupiter is engaged with Mercury this weekend. So there's a connection going on. We'll want to know what that's all about. We have a few Mercury contacts, and that's one of the subjects I want to take up today, these different contacts that Mercury is going to be making. We also have Mars and Jupiter meeting up. And then I also want to take time to talk a little bit about Saturn turning retrograde, as that happens on Sunday, as well as the moon moving into Capricorn that day and coming right into a trine with Uranus, kind of making some unexpectedness as a part of our Mother's Day experience this weekend. So yay, we have a lot to talk about. Plus I want to be able to get down to do some readings, some Oracle card readings. So I have all my cards ready for us. All right, shall we dig in? Let's see who else has joined us. Ursula, good morning. Camilla Anna, good morning. Deborah Johnson, good morning. J-Lo, good morning to you. It's nice to see the gangs mostly all here. I'm sure more will be joining us. If there's time today, I also want to go through a human design discussion, validating of something someone sent me as an email earlier this week. So we'll get to that. Okay, so first of all, let's go and talk about what it is that the moon has done. The moon in the middle of the night, overnight, moved into the sign of Sagittarius, out of that Scorpio intensity and depth, and into the more fiery energy, less water, more fire energy of Sagittarius. Now, Sagittarius, we talked about yesterday because of the connection to the galactic center and the fact that the nodes of the moon, specifically the south node of the moon, is transiting or will be transiting over that in July, August, over the galactic center. And then we talked about how that would seem to suggest that we are going to have to take a gut check on our reality, right? That we're going to have to look at our beliefs and our patterns in a quest for the larger T truths, letting go of both that conspiracy fear and that reality fear, and coming to something that's much bigger and much more unifying than these things that are going on the planet that seem to pull us in opposite directions. And that's going to be a pretty big chunk of time for us, right? Because the galactic center rules or takes up 2 degrees of span in the sky. And that means for an extended period of time, we may be looking at these things that we've believed, what truths that we've held as self-evident, and those belief systems that we adhere to that are no longer supported in the world as it is now. Now today, then, the moon in Sagittarius gives us a sort of prelude or a preview, a looking glass into what some of that energy might mean, because the nodes, after all, are related to the moon, right? It's the point at which the moon crosses the ecliptic north of the equator. That's the north node, and the south node where it crosses it south of the equator, kind of in its southern declination and its northern declination. And I know that sounds all very astronomical, but it really is just simple. It's the moon having a wobble in its orbit around the Earth, and the Earth wobbling on its route around the Sun creates this experience where we have the energy of the Moon crossing in two different places. Those become the North and the South nodes. So when the Moon now crossing into Sagittarius comes about, we have an opportunity to sort of look into perhaps what that galactic center transit of the South Node might look like. And so it bears watching then in your own life, what kinds of things happen today, tomorrow, and early on Sunday in your personal life. What kind of patterns do you come up against? What kind of belief systems do you see that you've been holding on to, like sacred cows that need to be let go of? And what is your number one here, the quest for truth? So Sagittarius energy is about that quest for truth. We discover that through religion, perhaps, through our belief systems, maybe through prayer or our connection to our higher self or our guides or our angels, whatever you want to call those deities or entities that help us as mere humans here on the planet to get through the experience of our world. And on the quest for truth, of course, comes this necessity for being frank and honest, honest with oneself and honest with others in your world. This is about direct communication, direct to your source, your God, direct to your inner self, and finding that communication then being something that you have the access to, and not needing that intermediary such as a religious icon to help you get there. Now, Sagittarius also rules the natural world. So everything that we think of as Mother Nature, the connection that we have to nature. I think a lot of the problems that happened in humanity is we got away from our connection to those natural cycles and away from our connection to the natural world. And now we have this opportunity to get reconnected to the timing of the natural world, to the patterns and so forth of renewal that are happening in the planet right now, connecting to your inner voice, your intuition, right? Your inner self as the source for answers for yourself, rather than looking outside of yourself. And in doing so, creating that sense of peace of mind, right? That it's never that crazy outer world experience is not the truth. Right? It's not the truth. It's not the capital T truth anyway. It is a fabric of your imagination. It is a creation. It is an illusion. And in that illusion, then we always have the opportunity as co-creators to change the pattern, to change what it is that we're seeing out there on our quest for that higher truth. Sagittarius is also known as a sign that respects and indeed seeks freedom. Freedom is such an important word, isn't it, right? We have free will. We think of freedom, especially here in the United States. And often right now in the conversation, you hear a lot about our freedoms being taken away from us. I was having a conversation, a text conversation with someone in New Zealand yesterday, and it's the same feeling there. Something about a freedom being under attack, and what does that mean? And in freedom, there's the ability to be spontaneous, to be able to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, to be expressive of your own self. So the Moon through Sagittarius will help us explore that theme, as well as adventure and exploration. And when I'm talking about exploration, I'm talking about whatever it is for you that is has a force of expanding yourself, expanding your beliefs, expanding your horizons, causing growth. Remember, Jupiter is the planet that rules the sign of Sagittarius. And so we have already in Jupiter this idea of growth and expansion. And what is it then that we are exploring that would round us out, let's say, as a human being having this experience on this planet, a divine being encased in a human body, exploring the limits of the physical creation, right? The physical world. And in such, we may find ourselves interested or drawn to other cultures or other foods or other languages. Maybe this is a great weekend to take up a new language, right? You always wanted to brush up that Spanish or that French So one day when we're able to travel freely again, you can make that trip and maybe even know what kind of foods they eat and what kind of language they speak, right? You don't have to wait till we can travel in order to expand your horizons by exploring the different cultures, maybe different belief systems, even going deeper into spirituality and metaphysics or anything that you want to, because this is that kind of energy to explore, to look for what's new and exciting and cutting edge even. Now, the moon in Sagittarius is, you know, a moon, the moon is more emotional, it's more watery, and you're putting that in a fire sign. Sagittarius is fire, and fire and water create steam, right? Steam. So there may be some issues that we might notice in the steaminess, the energy behind our enthusiasms, perhaps, or the things that we really love to do, a generosity, and all of those heart-centered things that we often think of too with energy that's fire. So our desires being on fire, our luck perhaps being on fire. Jupiter rules luck. And she's considered a benefic planet. And in the benefic planets, we have specifically with Jupiter, Lady Luck. And maybe it's a good weekend to buy a lottery ticket if you can still find those out there. I don't even know if they're still doing lottery. But if you can, maybe find some way to encompass or grasp out for your own personal luck. And being in the right place at the right time with the right opportunities will help you do that. Jupiter and also Sagittarius rule the law. So there's things around attorneys and lawsuits. And the biggest, I think, issue with Sagittarian energy, particularly with the moon, is this concept of ethics and morality. And when we think of morality, morality is something that seems to be dictated to you by a culture or by a society. But that's not what I'm talking about when I talk about ethics and morality, nor is it what we talk about necessarily with Sagittarian energy. It's about listening and following to your own moral compass to whatever direction it's leading you. And as humans, we are distinctly generous and giving and loving and kind deep within. And sometimes it's not deep within, it's just right there on the surface. And when we lean into a morality or an ethic that says that we care, that we are, you know, generous to those people around us, we find ourselves then on the, dare I say it, the right side of the ethics and morality question. But you know, in the metaphysical world, we talk a lot about the balance and the harmony, right? And that the light and the dark are not mutually exclusive. They're just different sides of the same coin. So when we find people who are what we would think of as of questionable morality or questionable ethics, it may be that their role on the planet is to balance that side of the coin. So here it all comes down to what is in your conscience, right? Your conscience, your moral compass, and not being in somebody else's business, which is you're trying to dictate that moral and that ethic to other people, but knowing that you live your own moral and ethical and follow your own ethics and your own compass. And this becomes very tricky because Sagittarius energy rules religions, right? And religion is really that great dictator of your morality and of your ethics. You know, witness doing something wrong in certain religions and you become excommunicated. I have a little sister who is part of a religion that very easily shuns you if you don't do what they tell you to do, if you don't toe their moral line. And so a lot of that comes up during a moon in Sagittarius. I dare say we are going to be dealing with that as issues from our past as we move into more and more of the North Node, South Node experience across Gemini and Sagittarius, where ideologies bump up against one another. So getting a little bit of a foretaste of this as we have things, ideologies maybe bumping up against one another or belief systems bumping up against one another over these next couple of days, but also over the course of time as those nodes have already shifted into Gemini and Sagittarius. Now, Sagittarius energy also rules higher education. In the astrology chart, it's the ninth house that Sagittarius rules, that Jupiter rules. And in that case, we think of all the things to do with your higher self, your higher mind, as well as the higher education that we receive. So in that, we might have mentors or teachers that come into our lives during these periods of time that teach us something, that show us something. And it can either be by a negative picture that we get of what that person represents, or it can be the positive expression. So mentors and teachers don't always have to be, let's say mentors, I think, are usually more of the positive, but sometimes the worst person out there can be your biggest teacher, as they show you something that maybe you don't want to be. And the mentors maybe show you something of what you do want to be. So be open-minded to all of the different things, the different people that come in contact with you that may serve as some kind of teacher mentor. Philosophy is also a section that Sagittarius rules. So we're taking up again, what is it that we believe? Do we embrace sort of the philosophy of all, of inclusiveness and of the beauty of all of the different tapestries or parts of the tapestry? This is also the rulership of colleges and universities, and also finding answers to maybe some of the more sticky issues, finding solutions. So we're seeking answers, we're finding solutions to some of the bigger problems perhaps. Now, like any sign, there's always that more negative energy that we can associate with the sign. Sagittarius, the first thing that always comes to mind for me is bluntness, right? That blunt talk or blunt communication with very little filter that can save you from, you know, coming right out and putting your foot in your mouth, so to speak. It is also a sign that is known for some carelessness in taking shortcuts. The sign reminds me of manifesting generators a bit. Manifesting generators in human design are designed to take shortcuts and to do things the quickest way possible. But in doing so, they often find that they have to circle back and come back and do things right because they missed something the first time around. So shortcuts, being self-righteous is another sort of negative expression, if you will, of Sagittarius energy. Getting so caught up in your belief system, getting so caught up in what you think is true that you become self-righteously adhered to it. This is sort of fundamentalism, right? And that you don't have an open mind anymore, but you've now closed your mind and you've gotten into tunnel vision. Making assumptions is another one of the more negative aspects here. Extravagance, taking generosity to the nth degree. And also going in, doing things excessively. So we want to watch that. In the body, of course, if you are finding that your hips or your liver or your thighs are killing you, it's likely something to do with Sagittarius. And when we say something like this, we all have Sagittarius somewhere in our chart. And it is when things go wrong in the specific area of the chart where you might notice the more negative expressions of these transits. So if your body begins, you know, you find that your hips begin to hurt, maybe you've been sitting too long, and maybe the sign of Sagittarius is on the sixth house in your chart, and that's the body. So the body is going to speak to you when you're not moving or growing or expanding, when you've gotten too narrow-minded, etc. So the body tends to show us through the part that it rules, the sign rules, what it is that may be going wrong within us. So I hope that's a little bit clear. I know everybody's bodies are different, and it doesn't mean that just because the moon is moving through Sagittarius that your liver is suddenly going bad, but it just might mean that there are things related to that that might show up that help to guide you through what might be out of balance or out of harmony in your body and in your life. Good morning, Mimi. Good to see you. Amy, good to see you. Augustina, hello. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel. Allison, awesome. I'm glad you're here this morning because we're going to maybe try to deal with your question on human design today. Camilla Anna says, I'm a Sag, and now the South Node is going to switch to my sign. Does it mean more challenges for me? And you know, that's a really good question, Camilla, and I would love to be able to just say out of hand, yes or no. But unfortunately, since I do not have your chart in front of me, I can't tell you exactly what that means, but I can tell you in general terms, it will be the South Node, the past that is moving through the sign of Sagittarius. So this will be a great opportunity for you to take a look deeper within you, to maybe upset the patterns that are repeating in your life, to be able to use the gifts and the talents in this cup of gifts and talents and talents and experiences that you've had in a new way, moving them out into the Gemini area of your chart. So that might be being curious or looking for new information, sharing more frequently. It does not necessarily mean something bad, right? Don't think that way. And on top of that, as we spoke yesterday, remember the first big connection that South Node is going to make is to the galactic center, the source of all that is, right? All of that incoming high energy cosmic particles are coming in from that galactic center, where we can connect to the truth of who we really are, where we can connect with source or God or goddess, whatever you want to call it, and bring in new possibilities that will be expressed through the Gemini end of that. So definitely not a bad thing at all. Terry, good morning to you. Allison, thank you. As a Sagittarius explains my hip pain. Indeed, indeed. And so then an exploration for you, Allison, about the house that the sun is in your chart, what is going on in that part of your life might help explain the hip pain, because the body's really just showing you something that might be out of whack a little bit in your, in the balancing and the harmony of your greater life. It's in the seventh house. So relationships, right? So this is where partnerships come in, and hips are, if I remember correctly from my Louise Hay book, which I keep right here, I think it's about where we are stuck. And let me check here real quick. Hip problems or hips carries the body in perfect balance, a major thrust in moving forward. And maybe it's the fear of going forward in major decisions or feeling like there's nothing to move forward to. So in the seventh house, it might be a fear of not having that relationship or not being able to find the right person to partner with in this lifetime. So in that case, then the best partner is you, you know, having your own relationship with you, and maybe finding yourself when it's appropriate, getting more into the social sphere to be able to attract that relationship into your life, or that committed partnership, which is what the seventh house is really looking for. So maybe there's been hesitancy, obviously, right now in the way that the world is. We can't just like go running around doing our social networking in the physical, right? You can't necessarily be going out on dates and, you know, doing that kind of thing. But it's possible that that might be a forward motion that you can make, is moving outward to find your right partner. You're welcome, Camilla. Augustina, hip is sacral chakra, creativity, and sexuality. Exactly. What book is that, Marissa said? Let me go back to Zoom so I can make sure this is centered so you guys can see it. Louise Hay, Heal Your Body. It says the mental causes for physical illness and the metaphysical way to overcome them. And it's the Louise Hay book. And you can get this from Amazon or Hay House. And what I really love about this book, because often you can point to, you know, maybe it's not a part of the body that's causing problems. Maybe it's headaches or something. I mean, obviously that's the head or the brain or something going on in your head. But you can look to this book because it has this whole spinal thing here. And in the one column, you can look up the effects, right? So the very first one is headaches, nervousness, insomnia, head colds, high blood pressure, migraine headaches, nervous breakdowns, amnesia, chronic tiredness, and dizziness. And it's related to the 1C, the atlas, right up here. And then you can see over here what areas, blood supply to the head, the pituitary gland, scalp, bones, the face, brain, blah, blah, blah. And you see here, it says 1C. It tells you what the vertebrae is that might be having some issues. Then you can look it up in the back pages and see what does 1C relate to. And 1C, oops, did I pass it? I did indeed. 1C is about fear, confusion, running from life, feeling not good enough, what will the neighbors say, and endless inner chatter. And then a new thought pattern is there as well, right? A new thought pattern. And that is, I am centered and calm and balanced. The universe approves of me. I trust my higher self. All is well. Now, because Allison was mentioning a hip problem, if I look further down here and I'll find the hips are, well, here's the liver, fevers, low blood pressure. Where would be hips? Kidneys, sciatica, poor circulation to the legs, swollen ankles, cold feet. Okay, well, maybe I was looking for exactly what I wanted, which was the hips. I don't see the hips being listed as poor circulation in the legs. Okay, so sciatica is also a part of the Sagittarius experience, by the way. So we'll look at that one. And that one happens to be the, hip bones. There we go. Hips, sacrum. Ooh, the sacrum. So let's look at the sacrum. And that is, what is that one? It's its own name. Sacrum is about loss of power and old stubborn anger. So then it says, I am the power and authority in my life. I release the past and claim my good now. So maybe that has something to do with it for you, Miss Allison. Loss of power and old stubborn anger that you need to be able to release and claim in the process your own power and authority. So this book is quite useful. I've used it many times in trying to discover the issues that are going on in my own self, right? Or with others even. Okay. So other questions, comments? Let me go back here. Tom, Louise, hey, heal your body from hand. Yeah, it's that book. Exactly. Marissa, wow, that book seems amazing. It is pretty amazing. Look, it's not very thick. It's a pretty tiny book, but it's packed with a lot of great information in it. And Augustina, love that healing, love and healing for you, Allison. I love that too. Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, she's been having sciatica and headaches. So you've got both ends going on, right? Headaches are at the 1C, which was the Atlas, and then the Sacrum, Atlas and Sacrum. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel says, and yes, I will take a card. Please and thank you. I'll start my list, but please don't everybody inundate me right now because I still have a lot more to talk about. But I will tell you when it's time to tell me that you want a card reading. Okay, and hips carries the body in perfect balance. That's perfect, Phantom. That's exactly what it says there. And being able to move forward is a part of that experience for you, Allison. Okay, now let's take a look at what the weekend's main energy is all about. And it seems to be that we have a weekend filled with Mercury. And I don't mean Mercury the element, I mean Mercury the planet. As I told you when we were looking at the energy of the first 2 weeks in May, that Mercury was center stage. So it was a lot of focus on what we think and on how we speak, our conversation, the words we use, and what our thoughts are focused upon. And here we go, right? We're going right into it with Mercury today in a semi-square to Chiron. A semi-square is a 45-degree relationship between the planets. So Mercury in a semi-square to Chiron would bring up some tensions perhaps around healing. Taurus is the sign that Mercury is in, so it does kind of rule the throat and the neck. So maybe we have issues around that part of our body. And then Chiron, of course, is the sign of the alternative healer or of the alternative healing methods. But it is also related to the voice here, where we may have challenges communicating what we're feeling or standing our ground in our own truth, right? We may be repeating other people's truths, but not our own, or we may be holding back and not saying what it is we want to say, or we are people pleasing, right? That happens a lot with Mercury in Chiron. We say things that we think other people would like to hear instead of the truth. But the other side of this coin is that we are speaking too much to people and saying things without asking if it's appropriate to be able to speak to that for that person, or if that person's even ready to hear what you have to say. So we're sort of having to balance that need to be able to speak when it's appropriate, but also to hold back from that speaking when appropriate as well. And communicating with sensitivity when we do get to communicate that to other people, watching our words and our tone and our attitude, because a lot of times it's not the words that you say to someone that hurts, it's that unspoken way that you say it. It's the tone or the attitude there. So we're really focused on that today. That is our energy for Friday. Now, as we move into Saturday, we have Mercury in a very powerful trine to Pluto. Mercury in Taurus, Pluto in Capricorn, and this is deeply probing energy. So we're wanting to get to the depths of something. And that might mean that if you are in a conversation with someone, you may be digging into the psychology, into the unconscious, and unconscious or subconscious. And in doing so, it could trigger the other person, as maybe you're becoming too nosy, or it's really you just probing, wanting to get to the depths of something, to the underbelly of something. But you want to watch how you're doing that with other people as well. You don't want digging for answers to become someone thinking that you're trying to hurt them, or that you're just trying to dig up the dirt, or that you're getting too nosy. So probe your own depths, right? Take a look deep within you and see what's going on with you, but resist the urge to do that with other people, right? It's not the time for that, because unfortunately the Mercury in transit to Pluto can sometimes trigger obsessions, and we may be projecting our own stuff outward onto other people. So the depths that you're digging into somebody else's psyche may actually be you needing to do that for yourself. So now, while this isn't a bad thing, this to me is really a positive affirmation that where we might sense things are going on, maybe it is your body, your hips, or your headaches, or sciatica that gives you that in that there's something going wrong within you. This will give you the opportunity to plumb those depths and to really see what it is that your body is trying to tell you. So watch out for projecting or becoming too obsessed by an idea that you just keep probing, because sometimes that just gets to be too much. And watch how you're speaking to other people on Saturday. Now, Sunday is the better of the three Mercury connections, as Mercury comes into a trine with Jupiter. And so this is the power of positive thinking, right? This is where it's the ability to be optimistic and have faith and to see the more optimistic sides of life, to look at the bigger picture. We don't want to promise more than we can deliver, however. In our optimism and our enthusiasm, we may say and do things or take on more than what we can really literally take on. So we want to watch that. We don't want to promise more than is possible from ourselves. We don't want to overlook the details, right? It's great to say, yeah, I can take on that project, and then forget that there's going to be months worth of details that taking on that project might mean for you. So, and you don't have the time or you don't have the abilities, right? So we want to keep things in proportion, but this is a perfect day, Sunday, for broadening your mind, for engaging in new experiences, maybe tasting new foods, maybe studying that foreign language we talked about with Sagittarius. Maybe it's a time to, you know, just get outside of those normal boundaries that you've been holding yourself to, because Mercury and Jupiter together have a force of making that mind grow, right, and expand. Now, that is on Sunday, right? So Mother's Day. So that should be a good day for conversation and maybe taking the conversation into new territory, maybe something you don't normally talk to your family members or people in your home about. So good stuff there. Let's take a look over here, see what people are saying. Mimi, good book and helpful by Louise Hay, looking at the lungs, virus, depression, grief, fear of taking in life. Interesting, right? We can look at all of that. Kamal says, good day. Amy, oh, how interesting. My ninth house is Gemini, and so is my best teacher mentor ever. Thank you, Amy. What is on my ninth house? I believe it's Pisces. Pisces in my ninth house. No wonder I like to go on cruises. I like that idea of traveling far. Okay. Now, any questions about Mercury, go ahead and put those here in the chat. I want to go on to what else looks on my little, look at my list today. I have like tons of information that I put here this morning. I was just like writing crazily. I want to go back to today for a moment because there is a minor aspect that is occurring today, Friday, where Mars is in a semi-sextile to Jupiter. Semi-sextile. A sextile is a 60-degree angle or relationship, and that means that a semi, which would be the word half of a sextile is a 30-degree relationship. And often that brings up maybe the ability to tap into maybe some latent gifts or talents that you're holding on to that you didn't know you had. For example, this is Mars semi-sextile Jupiter. Mars is in Aquarius right now. Jupiter's in Capricorn. They're neighboring signs. So they're 30 degrees basically apart. And this may be where we want to be really productive. We want to get things done, but we may feel like we're caught up in this circular kind of pattern where the faster we go, the slower things seem to go. And maybe it's an opportunity then to slow the roll just a bit and tap into maybe a well of patience that you didn't realize you had, right? Maybe this is about our slowing down because in our haste to get to the work or get back to work, we've forgotten the need for a stepwise progression to get to where we want to go. And, you know, some people like that straight line, right? They just like to get there and be done. And that's kind of that Sagittarian energy too. Let's get it done. Let's just get there. Let's get it over with. But there is some possibility here that in your haste to do that, to get back to work or to get back out in the world, that we overlook something obvious like who knows what, but something that could eventually be shown to be a step that we shouldn't have skipped, right? That's manifesting generator energy as well, where we skip a step. And then we discover, eek, I shouldn't have done that. So we have to circle back around, pick up that step. So one way to avoid having to do that is to watch your stepwise progression, watch your plan. Remember, we've had several months of time from about last December up until end of March where creating that stepwise progression was very necessary to get the goals, right? To get down to what it is we wanted to do. And to have that plan to do that. Well, if you throw the plan out now, just when it's needed the most, right? Because now we're taking the action steps on that, then you can find yourself in for a nasty surprise, right? Where you have to go back and do things all over again. So watching for that in your own life. I'm seeing it play out on the bigger scale right now out in the outer world as, you know, people were all we all want to get back to work. We want our lives back the way they were, and we may be pushing ourselves too far too fast. That remains to be seen, but I tell you, because we have such tricky energy coming up for the next 6 months, particularly from September through December, any missteps we take now, we're going to pay for in big ways when we get to those months. Now, personally, then what is it in your life that you're trying to push ahead with without really paying attention to the plan or the stepwise progression that you set out for yourself? So go back to the plan, be patient, hold the line, and things will happen in their right way, in the right timing. So there's that. Now I want to, let's go back to one other thing. Mother's Day is the day that Saturn will turn retrograde. And he will retrograde, meaning just from our viewpoint here on this planet, if we were on the sun, it wouldn't look this way. But from our viewpoint on this planet, Saturn will begin to reverse his way across the sky, backing up from 1 degree 57 minutes of Aquarius back to 25 degrees Capricorn. Thank you very much. I'm going to have another reiteration of my Saturn return. And some of you who are experiencing Saturn returns from Capricorn, late degrees of Capricorn, you're going to be in the same boat as me, having that Capricorn Saturn return come back around, just to make sure you're, you know, doing what it is, that letting go of all the things that don't work and moving forward lighter and presumably in a more direct connection to you, right? So in a way that you're really claiming your authority. And from May 11th until September 29th, May 10th, excuse me. So no, 11th, Monday will be the first full day of it moving retrograde. We will be in that Saturn retrograde. Now, this can be a time, I'm of two minds, such a Gemini thing to say, when it comes to Saturn in retrograde. So classically, we say it is a time of limitation. There may be anxiety, there may be fear, especially around the things that we have or you have been working on, maybe even as a society, the things that we have been working on. So we might have these reversals that show up. And in my other mind, this is the time where we go inward, seeking the way to get through these tricky days from a more response-able position. And where we are in that process, claiming our own inner authority, working with our own inner guru, if you will, to solidify the truth for ourselves, for who we are and what it is that we want to do. Now, the process for other people may be that trigger to limitation and fear, especially if you're so inclined to live in that fear field. If you're someone who's constantly looking for these, you know, fear-based energies and looking at them and feeling them, then this might be a horrible next couple of months, is that you're really seeing the effects of that in your inward self. But you can also change that focus. In it's just a choice, right? To see how we can build a new future. Because remember, Saturn, this is Saturn. He rules both time backwards and time now and time forward, right? Remember that Aquarius is looking down to the future and that Capricorn is looking down at the past, but finding them both here in the now. And what is it now that we can be doing that makes us stronger, that is building a sustainable foundation? Remember, we've gone through the destruction. We've been through the destruction part. Now it's about rebuilding, right? Regenerating a solid foundation. And that solid foundation may look completely different. And that may be a source of fear or anxiety for people as we're having to let go of some of those things from the past. And we can no longer do them in the same way. And yet the future is still unwritten. And what do we want to write in that future? And also then realizing that we're the ones that are creating that reality. So in your own personal life, this time can be one of rethinking and rebuilding and solidifying a new future. And for others, it could be a source of fear and panic and limitation and anxiety. Your choice, what's it going to be, right? So that's coming. We'll be talking probably a lot about this. I believe it's July when Capricorn becomes the home of Saturn again for that period of time. And then, of course, we're all holding that space for Jupiter and Saturn to come together as we get into December. So I think, you know, for these few intervening months, we should be really willing to revamp ourselves in order to be prepared for the new future that is just getting ready to dawn on us in those next few months. So I think it's positive, but I also see that some people will take this and experience it in its more negative form. Amy says, and haha, I am a Pisces. Ooh, I love that, Amy. Kamal, Saturn return concerns me a lot. And Kamal, I think we've talked about this for you because you're in your first Saturn return. So that means you're between 28 and 30 years old. And I think maybe of the two Saturn return, I can't even tell you if it's one's more difficult than the other. But for you, this is about embracing your future. This is about embracing responsibility. And, you know, literally, folks, we have a new world, right? It's a new world. Some people who lost their jobs because of the coronavirus or the, you know, stay-at-home orders may not even have jobs when the orders are all lifted, as in companies and corporations have figured out a way to deal with without you. And then that leaves a big void out there. And we're going to be, you know, this is a humanity kind of experience. So what is it that I really want in my life becomes key. And how do I want to create my life in? And there are always ways to create your life. It's just a matter of you connecting with that and deciding for yourself how you want to be and who you want to be. How do you want to show up in this world? How do you want the world to remember you? How do you want your family to remember you? And taking responsibility for your own self in all of this. And if you're at your second Saturn return, which happens between, you know, 57 and 60 years old, then it's a time of pruning your life, letting go of all that extra baggage that you've collected over the years that is no longer serving you, that's more like an albatross around your neck, and becoming lighter and freer. And this often occurs at the same time in your life where your kids are moving away, or you realize that, you know, your responsibilities in life have changed. Maybe you're even looking at or facing retirement in the next few years. And what does all that mean for you? You know, what do I do from here? Where do I go from here? How do I want to show up now in the world in a different way, right? So Saturn returns are very tender times. They can be very depressive, or they can feel depressive. There's no reason to be depressed. It's just about going into those inner planes and doing some soul searching and some, you know, dark night of the soul kind of energy is present during that time. But this too shall pass, and things will change for you based on what you choose to do with that energy. All right. So I hope that helps, Kamal. J-Lo, one good thing, at least in New York, they did implement a bonus for bosses that rehire the same employees. What a brilliant idea, right? What a brilliant idea that it creates a win-win, right? A win-win. Kamal, now that you are aware, do not be concerned, my friend. You can breathe and take it one step at a time. Indeed, indeed, indeed. That's perfect. Deborah Johnson, I release what no longer serves me. Right. That's exactly right. I can tell you all from having gone through this or going through this continually that there's a lot of inner searching that goes on, and things that you thought were important sort of fall away. And then there's that feeling of grief almost that you get for watching it fall away. And maybe even from an observer's point of view, just standing back and wondering, like, where are my feelings about this? And why am I so willing to just let that go when it's been my life forever? So there's it's an interesting time, and we get through it, right? Everybody goes through these times. Marissa, it's weird. I feel like there is some push to make people do, but just from your home. Amount of emails I have in my inbox, it seems to have doubled, but I want to slow down. I think you're right somewhere there. I think you're right somewhere there, Marissa, because I found myself the other day irritated. Remember yesterday I told you guys to watch out for the unexpected anger that comes up. So here I am. I drove to town because I needed to get some things at the store. And I first have to wear a stupid mask, and I get claustrophobic really easy. And the mask just seemed not to fit my face. Like, my ears are too far back or something. I don't know. It didn't fit. So I was irritated. Then when I'm driving home, this person decides that in a 35 mile an hour zone, they have to go 60, and they go to pass me. And I don't know, I just had a moment where I erupted out with the middle finger, and I just got angry, and I ended up hurting my finger because it ran into the window, because the window wasn't open. And I was like laughing at myself because I'm the one that's overreacting to this person who wants to go too fast. And then I found myself irritated because I'm hearing airplanes and jets again, where before it was blessedly quiet. So I feel that inner turmoil within me, that part of me that's in resistance to going back to the busyness, the doing of life. But at the same time, knowing that at some point we have to do that because it's everybody's livelihoods, right? It's how we live. So I'm with you, Marissa. I totally get that. And I think, you know, we just have to slow down when appropriate and to take care of things as they show up, and trying to keep things more in balance than the way that we've lived our lives in other times, you know, where it's been all out and, you know, doing. We have to remember that we're human beings, and that we have to balance that beingness with that doingness. So maybe you make a commitment to, you know, spend a half an hour or an hour going through your inbox, and then the rest of the day you're going to go do something else. Or maybe, you know, 5 minutes out of, you know, every hour you're going to check your inbox. I don't know, but you find something for you and then stick with that goal so that you get that going in a direction that's balanced for you. Okay, what is going on here? J-Lo, please remember to hit the thumbs up to show. Oh, you guys are so sweet. Look at all these thumbs up. I love it. Amanda, Jay, Kamal, thank you. Marissa, thank you. Allison, thank you. I love it. Now, quickly before, because I want to be able to get some readings, and we may have to go a little overtime in order to do that. I want to take a quick look at a human design chart to answer Allison's question. And Allison, I'm going to see if I have your actual human design chart in this program. No, I don't want to print. What is going on here? I want to see the, there we go. I want to see my charts. And Allison, I remember I have worked with you. But it was probably before it was, dang it. Okay, let me look at examples. Maybe I put you in there. Nope. So I don't have your chart. So I apologize. Let's look at Johnny Depp's chart. Okay, we'll look at his chart, but maybe you can take a look at your chart and you'll understand what it is I'm talking about here. So let me go back to Zoom so I can share my screen with you all, and we can talk about, okay, no, let's use the Just Now chart. That's even better. So this is our Just Now chart. This is the chart that I drew up this morning at the moment. I don't know what time it was, but this is what the sky would have looked like through your human design. And we see that we have both the identity center and the sacral connected via this 34 to 10, which is a channel about claiming your personal power, right? Claiming your self-love, claiming your, making that actions that you take being based on what's right for you and what is the most loving thing for you to do for you. Interesting energy. But what Allison's question was is about hanging gates. And here we have this opportunity to look at hanging gates. So a hanging gate is one like up here at gate 61 that's hanging. It doesn't make it all the way down to the other side. And it is a place, if you think of a hanging gate as a little bit of a magnet, right? It's drawing to you the experiences from other people or through transiting planets. So when you have a gate hanging, like this gate 23 that's hanging, it's the gate of simplicity or simplifying something. And so for the most part, it's hanging here until someone comes along and complicates things. The more complication or complex energy of gate 43, when it meets up with 23, then suddenly you find yourself in the mode of simplifying something or needing to simplify something more complex. But before that point, that energy just is hanging there, right? It's waiting until a planet comes by or a person that fills in that gap for you. So let's look here at the gate 22. The gate 22 on the emotional center is a gate that we think of as grace and charm, but it also has its more ugly side. It's moody. And when it connects up here to the gate 12, which would be up at the throat center, either grace and charm comes out or that ugly energy of speaking, criticizing or overanalyzing and that kind of thing. Or it could be that suddenly you have an opportunity to speak what you're feeling and then you get shy, right? The gate 12 sometimes is shy and withdraws and is more, less likely to speak. So your grand opportunity comes along when the gate 12 comes along and you suddenly withdraw and you clam up and you can't speak. Or maybe the opposite happens and that person triggers within you the release of all that emotion and you become the most graceful and charming speaker in the world. So it just depends. Hanging gates play out with other people's energies or in combination with other people's energies or in combination with transiting planets. So whatever gate you have hanging here, like gate 30, this is a gate of desire and expectation and not sexual desire. This was desire, like I want something so badly. And that desire hanging here until it meets up with a planet or something at the gate of imagination or the gate of fantasy. And it can create its own wonderful expression where suddenly I can imagine the highest and the best for myself. I can imagine in my mind's eye receiving exactly what it is I desire, or I fantasize about it through, you know, the energy of someone else. So these gates are all tricky when they connect up and they create a channel. That whole channel then begins to be expressed. But as soon as that transit changes, or that transit moves away, or that person moves out of your influence, then that energy goes back to normal, back to its, you know, behind the scenes sort of neutral energy expression. I hope that makes sense. Does everybody get that? Let me stop sharing for a second and we'll look and see. Does that help you understand that, Allison? I don't know if you're still with us live, but if not, let me know because we can certainly talk more about that. But this is that chart here of the moment. So this is energy that, like, especially the moon, that's going to move off of this gate 34 fairly soon in the next hour or so, and then change up the energy as the moon then moves into a different gate and completes your human design in a different way. This is why, for example, Debbie Hedden, and I think there's another one that's a reflector that listens to us in the morning, why the moon is so important to reflectors. Because the energy that comes out for them is only available and changing through the planets or the people that come into their lives. So reflectors have to become masters of understanding when these connections are happening, because otherwise you can feel sort of bereft when those energies leave, right? When someone walks out of your life or that energy leaves the transit. So Deborah Johnson, so my 41 to 30, the gate is open, but in reverse. So you have gate 41, and now Mars is sitting at gate 30, connecting that up. So right now you may be finding it very powerful for you to really step back from your expectations around what you desire and to be able to be more of the observer and be open about how it comes to you, right? Just to say, okay, this is what I want, but I'm not attached to how that comes, when that comes, or even if that comes. You just become a little more open to the universe as the master creative energy bringing you what it is that you desire. So the 41-31 can be a very interesting channel that develops between other people as well, where people fantasize conversations they've had with you. This happens between me and my husband all the time. He says, and you said this, this, or this. And I'm like, I never said that, because I have that same setup as you do, right? Those fantasized conversations that never happened. But he would swear they happened. And I'm like, not in my real life did those things happen. So Debbie says the dark line runs up from 41 towards 30. Exactly. But right now you should have a transiting line, but you're looking at your birth chart, so you're not seeing it. But just knowing that the transiting Mars is sitting at the gate 30, that right now desires and being open to how to that creative energy that brings those things to you is all important. The South Node is also in my gate 30. So the South Node being the experience of your first 40 years. Ah, now I see why this might be something that is coming up for you, Allison, because the gate 30 and its connection to desires means that there may be some desires from birth to 40 that didn't get fulfilled that you're holding on to, right? And it might be the promise of fulfillment of a marriage or a relationship, because didn't you say that was in your seventh house? And that desire to be a part of a relationship or to be in a business partnership, even all of that is very much something that didn't happen maybe in your first 40 years, or maybe it did happen in your first 40 years and then it seemed to just go away. And now what do your next 40 years look like? Because that's where the North Node is. And whatever chant or whatever gate that the North Node is sitting at is the direction you're meant to move in, taking those experiences of your first 40 years and moving them toward the North Node at whatever gate that is in. Likely it's at gate 29, maybe. Gate 29 would be a gate of what do you say yes to? What are you committed to? So you have that. Michelle Good, it's great to see you. Everybody send a lot of love and caring energy out to Michelle as she, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, just lost her grandmother, and she's in desperate need of all of us to just wrap our virtual hug around her and make sure she's getting lots of love and support from all of us, including the universe. Michelle, we love you. Okay, now, yes, 29, perfect, Allison. So now what did it, now your North Node is asking you to do a check of what it is that you said yes to. What are you willing to commit to? Because the gate 29 wants to say yes to everything, but that isn't appropriate either. It's a time to check in with yourself and say yes to the right things, the correct things. And that happens when you know your human design and you know your strategy based on your type and what your authority is, which is helping you make the best decisions for you. Otherwise, you may spend so much time saying yes to everything that you realize you're burning yourself out, or you're not feeling good about it because you're not saying yes to the correct things. You're just saying yes to everything. So I hope that helps. All right, everybody sending love to Michelle. I love it. I love it. Thank you, everybody. Now let's get down to some card reading. So as well as sending love and light to Michelle and her family, would you please start to tell me if you want a reading? I know I have Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. And I'm going to take three more because we're already after nine. So the first three people after Debbie TT that say that will get their readings. Debbie, I'm feeling a need for the wisdom of the oracle for you. And that is the card I'm going to read while I'm waiting for the next people to step up and say they want a reading. Marissa, card please. And Allison, Woto, Marissa, Allison. Marissa, did you tell me what you would like? And Jennifer Peachy. All right, I've got my next three. And Michelle, I'm going to pull a card for you just because. All right, so we are set. Jennifer Peachy, I would love a card. Your pick, awesome. And Amanda J. Okay, well, we're just going to do readings. Okay, Amanda J., Tom, Ursula. So it's an hour and a half show today. I would love that. J-Lo, an animal card. J-Lo, thank you for requesting a card for yourself today. I love that. And a dragon for the collective, Deb Johnson says. We'll see if we have time for that. And okay, Ursula, I get to choose. Jennifer, I get to pick. Tom, you didn't say, Tom, what you want. Amanda, your choices are dragon, goddess, animal, or wisdom of the oracle. And Michelle, I've got you down. And okay, Woto for Allison. Yeah, I did write that. Okay, and Marissa, did you tell me what you wanted? Nope, my choice. Okay, here we go. This is for Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. And Debbie, how on earth did I do this? I have some of the cards backwards. There we go. I think I was doing a reading the other day. Oh, Debbie, a flying card. I love it. A flamingo. That's funny considering the yard art that you were showing me on Zoom, our conversation the other day. The flamingo, between worlds, card number three. It literally flew out of the deck for you. Let's see what that card means. Card number three, being sort of half in and half out. The essential meaning is transitions, not being quite out of one situation and fully engaged in another, temporary blindness in a no man's land. The Oracle's message for you, Deb, says, between the worlds is where you must let go of the tendency to make assumptions. This is a time when you are unable to see what is ahead. Cultivate curiosity, such a Gemini trait with the North Node there, and trust the process of change and growth. You are done learning the lessons of recent experiences. In this place between what was and what will be is a state of making and unmaking and making again. What is essential now is to admit not knowing. There is great freedom and power to be unleashed. A mystery that is not yours to understand weaves the web of life within a divine matrix of consciousness greater than your own thoughts, feelings, beliefs, desires, and decisions. The seeds that were planted in the past begin to take root, but what surfaces will probably not be what you expect. When you are between the worlds, you are invited to see with the curious eyes of a child glimpsing a rainbow for the first time. Do so, and you will not be disappointed. I love it. This actually could be our card for Saturn turning retrograde as well, right? Being between the worlds. We're not quite into that Aquarius energy all the way, because now Saturn's backing up back to the old, or the between that space of building and destruction and reconstruction. Love it. Debbie. Thank you. Marissa, I'm kind of feeling Woto for you as well today. I'm feeling Woto for you, Marissa. Let's do it. Let's see if a card jumps out here. This card, or this deck, is our standby deck, and I love it. And you get All That Glitters, card number 16, which is a 7, and All That Glitters. So we have this beautiful pile of gold with some masks on top of it, meaning maybe All That Glitters isn't gold. Let's see. And it was right side up, by the way. So 16. And the meaning of the card is a need to see beyond the superficial, the desire to don a mask or dress something up to disguise its true nature, trying to be something you're not, chasing after every sparkling new thing, or being mercurial. It's only human to want to adorn oneself in trinkets and paint a pretty picture of oneself. It's natural to want to acquire the trappings of status or to deny them as a statement of rebellion. But if it sparkles, is it better? Whether it's a fast car, a big house, a title, or position, the stamp of authority, or the sparkling of diamonds, these icons let you know something about a person, place, or thing. Or do they? The truth is that people seek to acquire things because of what they will do for them and how they symbolically will elevate them and make them more attractive. This card signals that it's time to see beyond the adornments and probe underneath the surface. Learn to recognize the masks people wear and the motives underlying them. Imagine that all the glitter is gone. Would you still desire the object or the person? I think we got this card last week too, and I find that fascinating. So remember, even though I'm pulling this card for Marissa or Debbie or Allison, that there's a meaning for everybody. So if you're even listening to this video via podcast, or you're watching this later, these card readings, even though they may not be personalized to you, may have a deeper meaning for you, as we're all connected here via the collective. All right, Allison, this one is specific for you, but also, again, for all of us. Nope, that cannot be it. And I think that was a sleight of hand that I did, but it came out. So it was the All That Glitters card from Marissa, and I'm pulling an extra one, Go the Distance. So we have two cards for you, Allison. The All That Glitters card over here, that was the same for Marissa, that was card 16, and then added to that a sort of enhancement that says Go the Distance, card 47, which is an 11 and speaks to enlightenment or shining the light on something. So rather than reading the All That Glitters again, I'll just reiterate what the essential meanings are, and then I will read the Go the Distance. I hope that's okay. So I don't sit here and repeat myself in the interest of time. So 16, again, the essential meaning was a need to see beyond the superficial, the desire to don a mask or dress something up to disguise its true nature, trying to be something you're not, chasing after every sparkly new thing and being mercurial. And guess what? I just got a message I was doing that to read the relationship message to you, because this deck has things separated into the Oracle's message, a relationship message, and then as well a prosperity message. And I wanted to read the relationship message to you. Okay. Sometimes we try to become something we're not to impress others. We embellish a story a bit, adding some dramatic elements to make us more appealing. The real person becomes hidden behind the sparkle and the shine. Then there are times when we don't see the true value of someone else because he or she may not have the glitz and glamour that seems so desirable. Now is the time to look past the surface, beyond the mask, to the essence of a person. Who that person is, not what he or she has or can give you, is important. See beyond the glitter and look for the inner glow. Use the eyes in your heart. Let go of artifice and let what is authentic shine. Nice. Now I'll read the card 47 for you, which says, go the distance. It's our cheetah. Remember the cheetah who's running a race. He's got the checkered flag, so he's almost at the end of the race. And it says, endurance, strength, the long haul. And this message says, to bring your dream to life, you must think long-term and pay no attention to the fluctuations in the current of your experience. Joy and disappointment commingle with opportunities, so there is no need to fear the occasional obstacle. Life is not a sprint. This card is a reminder that you have endurance, strength, and fortitude to carry you all the way. Remain true to yourself. Your authenticity alone will keep you in alignment with the energy of miracles. What is yours will never be withheld from you. Remember that. All right, Allison. All right, Jennifer Peachy. I'm feeling goddess for you, or animal. Let's do goddess and see what that has to do for you. Now, remember, in the goddess cards, we have two ways that she shows up. Right side up, it is a empowerment message, blah, blah. And upside down, upside down is an alignment message for you. So we'll see what goddess graces us here. And we get Parvati, I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right, Parvati. And she is about devotion. So she's the goddess of devotion. She is card number 41, so a 5. Right. Let's see what Parvati has to say to you. And she was right side up, so she is an empowerment message. And 41. There is a universal law. Nope, that's the wrong one. Sorry. True commitment comes from wholehearted living in body, mind, and spirit. When the Hindu goddess Parvati rises up to greet you, she is acknowledging you for your sincere devotion to personal growth. With the world in so much turmoil, it's not easy to devote yourself to higher knowledge and a strong faith. But if you are to serve others by being a bearer of love, compassion, and light, you must recommit yourself every day, as unwavering in your devotion as Parvati was to Shiva and her goal of bringing peace to the world. Parvati asks that you find silence in daily meditation to contemplate your devotion, as well as your commitment to all of life and to making the world a better place. The great goddess is present when you renew your devotion and make that relationship primary above all else. Then, in all areas of your life, your every choice will be in alignment and in service to this truth. When the goddess Parvati comes to visit, it is a beautiful sign that you are on the right track. Love that, right? Parvati, I'm not sure how to say that exactly. Devotion. All right. Jennifer, I think that's a great message. And Michelle, this is for you, Michelle Good. I'm thinking you need a goddess as well. Yes, goddess. I was thinking dragon for a moment, but it wasn't happening. So Michelle, this is for you. Oh, and we have a duo. They dropped here. Death and Magic, Morgan, was the first one that pulled out. She is number 37, which is a 10, which represents a new beginning. And then we have number 35, which is an 8, and she is the goddess Metis. She represents wisdom. So death and magic and wisdom. Okay, 37. Here we go. And they were both right side up, so it is an empowerment message. Consider your life a magical gift and your experience of it a beautiful opportunity to leave the world a better place. You give that gift back when death comes and ends your time on this plane. Experiences, relationships, projects, and even long-cherished dreams are all subject to the natural laws of death and the magic of the Celtic goddess Morrigan. Now is the time for you to let certain parts of your life die and recognize this process as something to celebrate as well as to mourn. Let go with love and gratitude. Leave your fears behind. For in death, there is great magic, as nothing can ever be truly destroyed. From the ashes of the old, a new life and new dreams will come to be. Face this time of dying and death with love and courage. Be willing to be empty. Soon, the goddess Morrigan will fill you up with magic and a new world will be born for you. This is her gift for you when you surrender your resistance and allow things to be as they are. I can't make this stuff up. I just can't. That's a perfect message, I think, for you. Now let's see what the goddess Metis has to say next. And that one is card number 35. And she is also right side up. Experience woven together with knowledge creates a beautiful thing, wisdom. Its parts are intertwined like a finely made rope that is so strong it can't be cut. Wisdom, once earned, becomes an essential part of you. Right now, the Greek goddess of wisdom, Metis, says you know exactly what to do in your current circumstances. The real question is, do you have the courage and commitment to make a wise choice? Your answer is not to hide. You are being invited to look within rather than without. Take the wisdom you already have and apply it to your question. Perhaps, however, you must instead draw forth the humility to find someone wiser to weigh in. In this powerful time, others may seek you out for your wisdom. This is also an auspicious period when new relationships are founded on deep truths shared with others. You are entering a potent period of your life to share all that you are and all that you have learned. Extraordinary things are possible when the goddess Metis reminds you of your wisdom and the need to express it. A great follow-up to the card of death and magic. Okay, so that was for you, Michelle. Next is Amanda J. And Amanda, I got to go back. I can't remember if you asked me to choose. I think you did. And okay. I know. Okay, so I'm just going to pull Amanda a dragon card. The dragons want to come out and play too. So Amanda J, are you new with us, Amanda? I'm not sure. I don't necessarily recognize the name. And if you are, well, welcome. And we love having you join us here. And your dragon is Earth and Fire Dragon. Works with you to clear the fifth dimensional ley lines, and it is time for service. When you give, you receive. So here's your dragon, and here we go. Here's your dragon, Earth and Fire Dragon. Gotta love the dragons. They're so wonderfully profound in our lives. So Earth and Fire Dragon is on what page? Earth and Fire, page 28. All right. So, this is a card of service for the fourth dimensional brown and orange Earth and Fire Dragons are calling on us now to help them clear and light up the new ley lines of our beautiful planet. The original ley lines were called dragon lines, for they were maintained by the dragons of old. Now, a new fifth dimensional ley line system is being placed into the earth to carry golden Christ energy and prepare the planet for the new golden age. The dragons of earth and fire move through these lines, creating a path of light through which the higher love frequencies can flow. Here's your guidance for that. Humbly invoke these dragons and have a sense of the power of the flaming orange fire combined with the grounding brown earth. Reach out a hand to touch the dragons, then visualize earth being crisscrossed with lines of golden light. Picture these dragons anchoring this golden Christ energy whenever there are sacred places on, there are sacred places on the globe. Mentally place a golden flame at each of these sacred portals until you sense our planet lighting up. Whenever you are out walking or driving, ask the magnificent earth and fire dragons to travel along the ley lines below you, bring the Christ light down through you so they can distribute it where it is most needed. When you give, you receive. The earth and fire dragons will illuminate the challenges on your route ahead, and as soon as you have acknowledged them, they will dissolve them. This will smooth your path. It will also allow you to step lightly into your role as a master as the new golden age approaches. Whoa, that is a very powerful card for you, Miss Amanda. Tom, I am going to pull you an animal card, Tom. And let's see what spirit animal is taking you on your path this weekend. Amanda, I just can't help but thinking that that card is really setting you on a path, maybe a very necessary one. Tom, you get Scarab Beetle Spirit. And I don't believe we've had this card before, Tom. Scarab Beetle Spirit, magic works through you. And this is card number 52, which is a 7. The Scarab Beetle, look at all the artwork on the back of this beetle. It's beautiful. Okay, let's see what this is. Card 52. And it was right side up, so it is this message. In ancient Egypt, the scarab beetle was revered for the creative magic of scarab beetle spirit. In ancient Egypt, the scarab beetle was revered for the creative magic of scarab beetle spirit reminds us that we can bring forth something extraordinary, seemingly out of thin air. Whenever you let your creativity flow through you, scarab beetle spirit reminds you that spirit has given you the gift of infinite potential. You have an ally as you fashion something new or repurpose the old. For spirit co-creates with you, channeling energy through you so that you feel replenished and vitalized as you make magic with what is at hand. Now is a time for great optimism, for you can accomplish anything you desire and your creative endeavors will come to fruition. Miracles, opportunities, abundance, and love will seemingly appear out of nowhere as you allow spirit to work through you and magically manifest what you need. I'm sorry for chuckling, Tom, but all I could say was scarab beetle spirit, and I kept wanting to say Beetlejuice. Scarab beetle, magic works through you. All right, that's a pretty cool card, too. I like that. Ursula, I gotta go back and check Ursula because I don't remember what you said, what kind of card you might want. Amanda J says, wow. Okay, I get it. Thanks, Amanda. Thanks for letting me know that. Bye, Allison. Have a happy Mother's Day. And Michelle says the cards were perfect. Okay, I'm going back to find Ursula. Did you have a choice of card that you wanted, my friend? I get to choose which deck. Okay, so Ursula, I'm feeling dragons for you. I'm feeling the dragons, the dragon energy. I have my dragon. Oh, they're over there on the other dresser. I keep my dragons in my room, the golden red dragons. Okay, Ursula, Royal blue and gold dragon strengthens you to stand in your power with wisdom. Awaken to your own majesty, wear your cloak of power with pride. Awesome. Okay, let's see. I don't think we've had this dragon yet either. So royal blue and gold dragon, isn't that a beauty, right? Well, let's see what this says for you. What dimension this dragon comes out of. Royal blue and gold, 70. Okay, so royal blue and gold are the colors of majesty, dignity, and illumined achievement. Royal blue and gold dragons carry these qualities and prompt us to stand in our magnificence and true power. These fifth dimensional dragons come to us when they see royal blue and gold in our aura, indicating that we hold wisdom with power in perfect balance, which has been earned from our connections with the golden era of Atlantis. We have been incarnate or in spirit at that time, but we were living or serving on a higher path. The dragons will swirl around us, reminding us who we truly are and breathing light into our energy fields to reawaken our ancient gifts and talents so that we can utilize them once more in service. They will re-energize our cloak of power and wisdom so that we can wear it with pride. Here's your guidance, Ursula. A royal blue and a gold dragon is lighting up the gifts and talents you carry in your aura. It is breathing courage, support, and dignity into you so that you can wear your cloak of power and wisdom with pride. Most important of all, it is awakening you to who you truly are. It is enabling you to radiate your special light. This dragon is always with you. It holds your sword of truth, so Archangel Michael can enable you to speak and act with truth and honor at all times. It roars at those who try to diminish you and befriends those who empower you. You have all the support you need to teach divine majesty by example. That's a powerful one. Powerful card for you, Ursula. J-Lo, you be next. And J-Lo, you requested an animal card. Let's see what kind of an animal we pull here. And then Deb Johnson, a dragon. Okay, this one is for J-Lo. Eagle spirit. Spirit has your back, card number 23. Look at that, the bald eagle. It came out upside down, so it's in protection. So eagle, let's take a look at what that means for you. Must find right book. Here we go. And the eagle was card 23, which is a 5. And it says, if you are walking awkwardly and feeling embarrassed, eagle spirit is here to tell you that that is only because right now you are meant to fly. Soar over the troubles that have you feeling scared and alone. See the big picture, yet retain your eagle eye for the details that help you claim your wisdom and courage. Or perhaps you are making yourself small for the sake of getting others to accept you. Now is not the time to be vulnerable and dependent, for you have the wings to fly on your own, and you need to do that at this time. There is no need to huddle in a shelter or even to seek out a flock to support you, for eagle spirit says you have tremendous wisdom and courage within. Let it arise so that you might soar proudly with the angels, serving as the wind beneath your wings. From these heights, you can make the best and most powerful choices for the highest good of all. Perfect. 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 And then Deb Johnson, a dragon card. I believe, Deb, did you say you wanted a dragon card for the collective? Or, well, it doesn't really matter, does it, right? It's going to be for the best of everybody. So let's just draw a dragon card that best represents Deb Johnson's connection to the collective. So we're all involved. And that comes out as the Emerald Dragon, bringing healing and cosmic abundance. Good fortune is coming. Let your thoughts support your divine perfection. Align with your fifth dimensional blueprint. Oh my gosh, this is a fabulous card, Deb, for both you and all of us. The Emerald Dragon. Look at that, in a field of beautiful flowers. Let's see what this card is all about. The Emerald Dragon. Got to find him first here. Emerald Dragon is likely a fifth dimensional dragon. We'll see. Emerald dragons are wise healers who prepare us to align with our true fifth dimensional blueprint. They work with the mighty Archangel Raphael, the Emerald Angel in charge of the development of the third eye. They clear our emotional body to leave us free to love, forgive, and open our hearts. These magnificent dragons also retune our mental body so that our thoughts support our divine perfection, perfect in a Mercury-heavy weekend. This allows Archangel Raphael to pour emerald light through our spiritual body so that our physical body aligns with all we can be. They also open us up to cosmic abundance. Working with Archangel Raphael, they link us through our third eye to Jupiter and its ascended aspect, Jumbe. This is the planet of good fortune and beneficial rewards. The blessings that fall upon us may be financial, but not necessarily, and they are always fortuitous for our ascension pathway. Here's your guidance. Receiving this card invites you to fill your aura with emerald light so that the emerald dragons can enter your energy fields easily and consume all that no longer serves you. Breathe gently in and out of your third eye so that the emerald dragons can touch and open it. They will start to pull back your veils of illusion. This card indicates you are ready to receive healing, love, and a cornucopia of wonderful things. So relax at a deep core level and invite these magnificent dragons to bring good fortune into your life. Remember to be grateful for all the good that comes your way. I love it. That's a perfect card to end our week with, a perfect card to go into this weekend with, a perfect card for me to end our time together here today. Just checking to make sure there's nothing else going on here. I just think it's a great card. Wow, that is perfect. And oddly, my birthday was the 23rd of April, same day as Debbie Tippett's Tumiel. Happy birthday to you. And J-Lo says, OMG, I've been seeing green in so many shades everywhere. It's just wonderful. These cards are just wonderful. So to everybody, have a wonderful weekend. Take care. Love one another. I will see you on Monday morning. Take care and bye for now.